Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just the opportunity to be in church here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Malachi, Malachi in chapter 3, as this is our annual church budget meeting, and so we want to preach on some financial principles that the Bible gives to us. And as born-again believers, I think that it's very important for us to understand what it takes to have God's blessings upon our finances. And as a church and as an individual and as a family, I believe all of it is the same. And God blesses those who follow His plan and allow the Spirit of God to lead them. So Malachi chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here verse 6 down to verse 12. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church and for all that have taken advantage of their opportunity and are here tonight. I pray, God, that you would just bless each one. I pray that you'd give each one of them that ear to hear what you have for them tonight. And I pray that you'd empower and bless the preaching of thy word. And I pray that you'd bless the business meeting and the budget meeting that's to follow. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now as we look here, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and the prophet Malachi was a prophet to the children of God after they come out of captivity. And as they come out of captivity, he addresses the sins of Israel. And prophetically, we know that it was directed to those out of captivity that had kind of turned away from God. Now the prophet's trying to get them to turn back to God as well, to get back into the temple, to get back into worshiping and serving God as they should be. And one of the main reasons that God had judged them is they had turned away from God. And at this particular time, Malachi reveals to them that they have stopped honoring God with their tithes and their offerings. Now, prophetically, he was addressing the New Testament church. And we know this for several different accounts, but chapter 3 and verse 1, he refers to John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And so that's just one reference to the forerunner, the Lord Jesus Christ, to begin the New Testament. And then Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, establish New Testament doctrines, and with that, the New Testament church. And so we find that Malachi, not only was he a prophecy to the Israel out of captivity, but he was prophesying to the New Testament church and the believers of this New Testament church age. This is a message for the church today. I truly believe that. Verse 7 down to verse 12, it definitely addresses the church. He speaks of tithes and offerings. speaks of these tithes and offerings. And then he reveals in verse 8 and verse 10, rather, he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. That storehouse is something that we look to today that is the house of God. That's what he said it was then. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house. And so the Old Testament, it would have been the temple, but in the New Testament, what does the Bible say about the house of God? If you look over with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, you have to see how it's connected and how this is the prophecy for the New Testament church today. And 1 Timothy in chapter 3, and God changes not. He's going to supply the need for his church that he has established the same way he would supply the need for the nation of Israel and the temple and the storehouse, that they would come together and bring those tithes and offerings to the storehouse in the Old Testament. New Testament, it is the New Testament church. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, and as Timothy has given the qualifications for the deacons and the pastors and the deacons, and then he says in verse 15, he says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The very same that he was referring to in the book of Malachi concerning the storehouse. It's the house of God. And now he says, in the house of God, which is the church. New Testament church. And the New Testament church is of the living God, and it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Just as the storehouse and the temple was in the Old Testament, the New Testament we have, it's the church. So there's no doubt about it, as he's referring to the storehouse in the book of Malachi, it is looking forward to and is addressing the New Testament church as being the house of God. The church is made up of born-again believers. Now, we have this beautiful facility. We have the buildings and the grounds, but that's not the church. It's the buildings and grounds that we occupy. But the church that we're speaking about here is the body of believers. So we find that Jesus, and this prophet Malachi, as he's addressing the believers in the Old Testament who were supposed to stay connected to the storehouse or the temple of God, in the New Testament, he's addressing everyone who makes up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of individual, born-again believers. Look here in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We have to understand what we're doing is not designed by man. What we do as a church and how we give of tithes and offerings, it's God's design. And we do it not to please man, or we do it not to please a church. We're doing it to please God. We tithe to God through his church, the church that he has planted us in, that he makes up that body with every individual believer. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one spirit are you baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. That body, this Lighthouse Baptist Church body, is made up of every member, and every member has been planted here by God. Every member needs to know that I have been led and I've been planted in the church by God's Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, no exceptions. You didn't just happen to be in the area and decide to join the Lighthouse Baptist Church. If you're a member of this church, can I tell you that God designed that? God has prepared you, and he has prepared this church, and he has led you, and he's planted you here, and you make up part of this local New Testament body. That's what the Bible teaches. Now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and you are a family. You're of the household of God, planted in this church. Wow. God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. Amen. God blesses the membership of the Lighthouse Baptist Church so that you can acknowledge Him and you can give as God would have you to give to be able to support the function of this body and to keep this storehouse strong. I love that. I mean, when you see how God does, He says, back in Malachi, He says, I don't change. It was the same, that the principle behind blessing them in the Old Testament was the same by just looking to God and doing exactly what God would have them to do. He would bless them. He would bless their storehouse. And in the New Testament, it's the same God with the same principles. Now, the New Testament church is different. And the teachings of Christ fulfilled the Old Testament, and we live in this New Testament church age, which we are focused on the teachings of Christ, Christianity today, which makes up of all people, not just Jews, but all Jews and Gentiles, all who will turn to Jesus Christ and trust in Him and believe in Him. It is God's plan. It has always been God's plan. And so the church just needs to continue to look to God and to be obedient to Him, and He will not only bless you individually and your home individually, but He will bless the storehouse or the church that He plants you in. It's God's design. I'm so glad that I don't have to try to get people to tithe. If it was up to me whether you tithe or not, I would fail. I mean, there would nobody be tithing. Nobody would be given. But I'm sure glad that all I have to do is just preach God's plan. I know God's plan. Amen. And I know His promises and His blessings associated with doing things His way. We just need to get a hold of that and realize in every area of our lives, if we do it God's way, we can expect God's blessings on every deed, in every part of our lives. Seek out God's way. Seek out what God says about it and just follow His plan. It's a perfect plan designed by a perfect God. Amen. I love that. Back in Malachi in chapter 3, tithes and offerings are God's plan. Will a man rob God? Now, if you're saved, now this is not for unbelievers. You know, recently we had our choir cantata and we had a lot of visitors in the church and coming in. We had an offering, but I addressed the congregation. I said, this is not for you to give toward this. This is for our church members so that they can just put in their tithes. You're not obligated when you come to the church to put anything. God has no expectation of the lost. They're dead to God. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. But God has expectations of His children. God has expectations that we live and do according to His will. And as we look to please God and do as God would have us to do, then you have the promises that God has given to us, and especially concerning tithes and offerings. What a powerful passage of Scripture that we just read concerning the promises of God if we would just do things as God would have us to do things. And again, this can be applied to any area of your life as a Christian. God has expectations of every born-again believer in every area of our lives, and we need to look to be obedient to Him and do things so that we might position ourselves for the blessings of an almighty God who hasn't changed. You'll see how that applied in Old Testament, and it will apply in New Testament. Yeah. Tithes and offerings. Will a man rob God? If you believe in God, that's the last person you're wanting to rob. Hey, and nobody's going to rob somebody with a gun, amen? Think about who God is. Yeah. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Because you're not doing it according to my way, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even the whole nation had turned away from. Now, again, a lot of it was due to the priests and the pastors of that Old Testament time, and they were abusing that position. But there's no excuse. If your tithes were abused by a pastor or a church you used to be in, leave that church and find you one that's doing it the right way. God would have you to do that because you are responsible to tithe where God would plant you. God's not going to keep you planted in a church that's not doing things His way. But if the church is doing it God's way, it's a storehouse. It is what God has planted, and we need to make sure that we do our part to keep it strong. Yeah. Tithes and offerings. The tithe was established by God through Jacob in Genesis in chapter 28, verse 22. We won't have the time to go there, but a 10%. There's no doubt that 10% is a tithe. That's something that we looked at the Bible, studied the Old Testament all the way through. It has been established, and so we just need to accept that as God's plan. A 10% is a tithe. That's what, whenever time you see the word tithe, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a 10% of what? Well, in the book of Proverbs, it helps us with this. And, of course, Jacob told him, what are all my increase? But we also find this in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. Don't rob Him, honor Him. With thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's the tithe. So shall thy barns be filled with the same promise we find that Malachi presents. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He'll bless you. That's just the promise of God. So we find here that, first of all, the tithes and offering is God's plan. And we understand it's God's plan. If you believe in God, you ought to want to get involved in it. Stop letting the old devil put thoughts in your mind that will hinder you from the blessings of tithing. Be a cheerful giver. And the way that you can be a cheerful giver is to know that you can't outgive God. And if I'm giving as God would have me to give, God will bless me. God, I can claim that promise of God. And when you do that, it helps you to be cheerful that you're able to tithe. Yeah. The second part of that is offerings. Offerings are above the tithe. If you are not tithing, you can't give an offering. Some people will say, well, I want to give to this and this and this and everything else, and I want to use my tithe. No, that's not doing it God's way. Until you have tithe to the church that God's planted you in, you can't give an offering. If I owe Josh $20, and I say, Josh, I don't have the 20, but let me give you a dollar. He's saying, well, I might take that off the 20, now you owe me 19. But you're not giving me anything. Because you owe me 20. And if I'm not giving him what I owe him, I'm robbing him. And I make myself feel better by giving him a dollar when I want to rob him of 20. Amen? And so many people that, well, if I put a dollar in the offering plate, I feel good about myself because I just give. You haven't given anything. If you're saved. Now, if you're lost, hey, nothing's expected. But if you're saved, don't try to appease your conscience by trying to give a gift when you owe more than trying to give. There's a tithe, and then there's an offering. And I believe the offering is geared to missions. If you would go back over with me to the book of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, many get this confused. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul's addressing the church at Corinth, not concerning their tithe, he's addressing their giving to missions. So this would be looked at not as a tithe. The principles established in chapters 8 and chapter 9 is not the principles of tithing, it's the principles of giving to missions. There should be no question about that as we read this. But just since I've got a business meeting I've got to get into here, I don't want 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 12. He says this, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." That is not a tithe. But that is a principle concerning offerings. God knows what you have. And if you desire to give above and beyond the tithe, then it's acceptable, and God blesses that. Whatever it is, that's between you and God. Yeah. Verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." We are rich. We are rich in God. Yeah. Wow. Look down to chapter 9, verse 7. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart." Again, that's not a tithe. That's an offering. "Purpose in your heart. So let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver in every area of life." Yeah. So offering is above the tithe. In chapter 16 in 1 Corinthians, we are instructed to bring that on the first day of the week. As we have been given the New Testament commandment not to forsake the assembling and to assemble ourselves together on that first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Lay it aside every week. And as we lay it aside every week, prove God's will. And just look to see what God will do. You can actually look back there when you tithe and you can memorize it or you can quote it and you can look at verse 10 and you can claim this, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and there be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven." Sometimes it's not just financially. It is a peace that passeth all understanding. It is a comfort to know that God is on your side to bless you. I'm positioning myself for the blessings of God. Can I tell you that? That'll do a lot for you mentally and spiritually. It really will. Yeah. "But prove me now henceforth, saith my prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven." Answered prayers. Sense the sense of God's presence in your life. You know, the blessings that associate yourself with God and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Your cup will be overflowing. It will strengthen you and it will strengthen the house of God. You see, we must keep the storehouse strong because we have much to do as a storehouse. We have the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Going to all the world. Seeing people saved. Bringing them to the church. Get them baptized. Making sure we have enough classes to disciple them as they have need to be discipled. Make sure that we have the teachers. Make sure that we have enough support that we can carry out the Great Commission. If we don't have the money, we can't have facilities. If we don't have facilities, we don't have a place to bring them in to baptize them. We don't have a place to bring them in to disciple them. Stop thinking you can have a home church. Listen to me, that's not in the Bible. The Bible is the local called out assembly where all of us are planted here to make up this call. And when we are looking to God and we are doing as God would have us to, we can obey the Great Commission and we can accomplish great things. Through the Great Commission. Bible says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Believers are to be recharged on a regular basis. If you're not in church, your light has went out. Amen. You don't have a light if you're at the lakes on Sunday. No, you have a worldly example. You don't have the light of Christ. Listen to me, if we do not have the church, and if we are not coming to a strong church that's doing things God's way and is blessed by God, we will not be recharged to be able to go out and be the light that God wants us to be. And if the church is not paying her bills, then you're not a light to the community that you need to be. Yeah. Doing it God's way, the storehouse stays strong. There's a great light coming out from that facility. There's a great light coming out from that storehouse. Church lets out, there's little lights going everywhere. I love it. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. That's Bible. That's part of my support of God's church, is being able to keep the light glowing. Yeah. Jude 3 says you contend for the faith. Amen. Where would Christianity be without independent fundamental Baptist churches? Churches that are preaching and teaching God's word and doing what God has called us to do. Yeah, you ought to be excited to be able to be a part of and to strengthen, be a part of what God has planned to strengthen the storehouse and keep it strong. Amen. Don't begrudge giving that tithe or that offering. Shout hallelujah. When you understand it all, you will. And how it positions you in God's sight, not as a robber, but as someone that he wants to bless, yeah, you'll give cheerfully. Praise the Lord for that.